May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The headline caught my eye. Christianity's future looks more like Lady Gaga than Mike Pence. And the first sentence drew me in and asked, what type of Christian are you? The opinion piece was published on CNN.com on Thursday, and it directly addresses the myth that we are busting this week. As you know, we are in the midst of a preaching series called Mythbusters Church Edition. This series is taking us through the top five myths and stereotypes that young people outside the church believe about those of us inside the church. A reminder of those five stereotypes: that Christians are judgmental, that churches only care about money, that Christians are concerned about the wrong things in the world, that church is boring, and that Christians talk the talk without walking the walk. This week, we are focusing on the third stereotype, that Christians are too concerned about the wrong things in the world. So when I saw that article on Thursday, I was intrigued. Christianity's future looks more like Lady Gaga than Mike Pence. The piece outlines two disputes that made their way into the news this week. Disputes between prominent Christians. The first, that Vice President Mike Pence's wife, Karen, is working at a Christian private school that bans LGBTQ students and parents, and that news did not sit well with Lady Gaga, a singer, songwriter, and actress most recently known for her Academy Award-nominated performance in the movie A Star Is Born. Lady Gaga has been very open about her Christian faith and her support for the LGBTQ community, support that is deeply rooted in her faith. So in response to the news about Karen Pence's place of employment, Lady Gaga said, "I am a Christian woman, and what I do know about Christianity is that we bear no prejudice, and everybody is welcome." Then incident number two. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders was asked a question about Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her proposal for a Green New Deal, an economic stimulus program that aims to address both economic inequality and climate change. Sarah Sanders responded to the question by saying that climate change is an issue that should be left up to God. And what was Representative Ocasio-Cortez's response? She started tweeting out Bible verses that highlight our call to care for creation. Now, there are few things that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Lady Gaga, Sarah Sanders, and the Pences can all agree on, but there is one thing that they do all have in common. They all identify as Christians. And it's clear that their faith impacts their politics. Now, let me pause for a moment in case it makes you nervous to hear the words faith and politics in the same sentence. Let me pause for a moment to acknowledge that we are a politically diverse congregation. We are a theologically diverse congregation, we are incredibly and wonderfully and beautifully diverse in so many ways, ways that can never be fully measured on a liberal to conservative spectrum. And we find ways to be community, to be church in the midst of this diversity. What a gift. But sometimes I worry that our diversity of opinions leads us to shy away from talking about the really, really big problems our world is facing. Problems like discrimination and climate change, immigration and war. We shy away from these issues and instead proclaim that politics has no place in the church. And we can keep doing that. But then we need to grapple with the reality that when the church shies away from talking about the big problems our world is facing, we leave people outside the church wondering what we are doing here. Because if the church doesn't have something to say about what is happening in the world, then what good is the church at all? Is the church even necessary? Or is it just increasingly irrelevant? But friends, there's an even bigger challenge. Because many people outside the church don't see us just as irrelevant. They don't think we're just avoiding the problems of the world. They think we are making those problems worse. They wonder how the church can proclaim to follow a God of love when there are Christians in this world who will tell some people that God does not love them because they love the wrong people. There are people out there who wonder how the church can proclaim to take seriously our call to care for creation when there are Christians who disavow scientific evidence and deny the reality of climate change. They wonder how the church can say we follow a savior who was once a refugee when Christians are calling for the building of a wall along our southern border to keep refugees out of our country. They wonder how the church can say we follow the Prince of Peace when Christians support the waging of war. So we can continue to say that politics has no place in the church, but then we can't also continue to wonder why the church is seen as increasingly irrelevant or even increasingly dangerous. So here's a challenge for us. What if we are willing to proclaim that the church does have something to say about what is happening in the world, and that we do that not from a place of partisan allegiance? Because we know that the world is already divided enough. Maybe this can be a place not where we escape from the challenges of the world, but where together we figure out how our faith calls us to respond to those challenges. Maybe this can be a place where we ask not what our political parties require of us, but what the Lord requires of us. What does the Lord require of us but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God? If we had to pick just one verse to sum up all of Scripture, this verse from Micah could certainly be in the running. What does the Lord require of us but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God? This one verse seems to sum up the commandments of the law and the voices of the prophets. And Jesus embodied this verse in his life and ministry, and he even said something similar. When asked to name the greatest commandment, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And that sounds a lot like do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. This one verse from Micah could sum up all of Scripture, and it's easy enough to remember, it's short enough to fit on a bumper sticker, but Micah wasn't concerned about whether the people of his time could remember these words. He was worried about whether his people were living them out. He didn't want his community to just stick these words on the bumpers of their chariots and call it a day. He wanted them to embody the words all the days of their lives. He didn't want his people to just talk the talk. He wanted them to walk the walk of their faith. And we will talk more about that stereotype in a couple of weeks. Ultimately, Micah reminded his community that their sacrifices were not pleasing to God if they were just talk. God wanted more from them than just empty words. God wanted justice that was measured by how well the most vulnerable fared in their community. God wanted love, the kind of loyal love that God had shown again and again to the people of Israel. God wanted the people to put their faith into action. This call to walk humbly with God is similar to the call of Jesus, whose most characteristic invitation was not believe, but rather walk. "Come," Jesus said, "and follow me." You'll notice that in Micah, this call to change the world, the call to do justice, is intertwined with the call to be community, to love kindness. And that is wrapped up in the call to deepen our relationship with God. God, our faith community, the world around us, all three of these matter deeply to people of faith. They cannot be separated. That's what Micah wanted his community to know. He wanted them to remember that they couldn't go through the motions of their faith in the temple and then ignore the people who were suffering all around them out in the world. He wants us to remember that too. To enact justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. These are not single acts that we can check off a to-do list and then leave behind. No, Micah is calling us to a way of life, a way of being in the world. Rather than offering God thousands of rams, Micah calls us to offer 1,000 daily acts of love and justice for each other and for the world that God loves so much. To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God, that is our call as people of faith. That is a call that beckons us out into the world, and that is a call that invites the world to come in here, where together we can grapple with what it means to be people who are defined not by our political parties, but by our faithfulness to God. This work that we can do together if we choose, this work will be messy and complicated and hard, and it would be so much easier to avoid. But the future of the church just might depend on whether we are willing to do messy and complicated and hard things together. The future of the church just might depend on whether we are willing to do what the Lord requires of us. Amen.